This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mak, Kusu Chuang and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7.06 in the morning, Monday the 14th of October. And in the US on Friday, markets rallied on the back of progress in the US-China trade talks.
Yeah, so the Dow closed up 1.2%. The S&P closed up about the same, 1.1%. But earlier surged this by as much as nearly 2%. And the Nasdaq was up by 1.3%. So everybody was buoyed by the news.
Yeah, it was a happy day in the US. In the meantime, in Asia, Nikkei 225 closed up 1.2%, Shanghai closed up 0.9%, Hang Seng closed 2.3%, Kospi closed up 0.8%, Singapore Straits Times closed up 0.8%, KLCI was 0.3%. There doesn't seem to be a market that was down at all. Everyone, I think, was very cheered by a potential trade deal, or at least a mini trade deal.
So for more insight into global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Stephen Innes, Asia-Pacific market strategist at Axie Trader. Thank you for joining us, Stephen. So the US and China have come to a preliminary trade deal, the first since the trade war kicked off a year and a half ago. So how will markets react to this, considering that several other major issues like intellectual property still have yet to be addressed?
You know, it's baby steps, but it's good baby steps. I think the market, as we saw by the reaction, is sort of a relief rally and a combination of a lot of negative positions that were put in place, particularly around a negative outcome from the trade talks, along with this waning global growth narrative. However, you know, the problem here is that, sure, we have the tariff detente, but it still doesn't go a long way to fixing all the negatives that are going on in the economy right now. Obviously, the central banks will have to continue their easing programs. And, you know, this suggests to me that we're still nowhere better than we were before, but at least we're looking at a possible trade war detente extending throughout 2019. And I think this is a pretty good result considering where we were only a month ago.
And Stephen, in the US, all eyes are on the FOMC meeting at the end of this month. And there's some numbers due this week that could influence the decisions of the data-dependent Fed. So what do you think we'll see out of US retail sales on Wednesday and industrial production on Thursday?
You know, it's interesting. The retail sales have, or at least the US consumer, has single-handedly been buttressing the US economy for the last several months. And this is going to be a critical determinant in the Fed's forecast. Obviously, we know, as far as the manufacturing side, the surveys have been pointed quite negatively. Now, we have to take the surveys in context of trade wars. You know, that a lot of CEOs are quite negative. They're not opening up their purse strings. Neither are purchasing managers, because they don't know what to expect. They don't know how demand's going to be set up. Now, the question here is, now pulling back these tariffs in October and December, will this encourage them to spend more? Maybe. Will lower interest rates encourage them to spend more? Maybe. So we really have to look at what they're going to do, not necessarily what they're going to say. So, you know, we're going to look at the backward-looking data, yeah, but I think it's the forward-looking data that's going to be more significant. And in other words, the survey data that will be coming out throughout the next month.
So, Stephen, do you still expect a rate cut at this FOMC meeting then?
I think you have to. I think the negativity on a number of levels here. We have, you know, a slight weakening in the U.S. payroll report. We definitely have weaker inflation. You know, that's just a guarantee. That suggests not alone the Feds could drop interest rate. But we've also got concerns that are coming around the manufacturing sector. But obviously, you know, the Fed's also looking at the international landscape. If you look at the economic data that's coming out of Europe, it's absolutely abysmal. The fear is here that this could spread into the U.S. markets. It's already spreading into the manufacturing side, but the big concern is whether this starts to impact the consumers. Now, let's face it, as we mentioned earlier, the consumers are buttressing the U.S. economy. Without their support, the U.S. is going down the tube also. So we have to be very, very, you know, the Feds have to be very, very cognizant of this. So yes, we think an October cut on a preemptive basis will happen, because let's face it, the U.S. economy, sure, the data's turning south, but it's not dramatically bad. You know, it doesn't really, you know, scream for a rate cut, but we can view this as more of a preemptive measures by the Federal Reserve Board. And this will really buttress risk sentiment in itself.
Thank you very much, Stephen. And that was Stephen Innes, Asia-Pacific market strategist at Axie Trader, expecting an October rate cut from the FOMC. But as we were discussing with Stephen, on Friday, the US and China reached a limited deal. So the US agreed to hold off on scheduled tariff increases, which were originally due to kick in tomorrow. They did not, however, roll back any of the existing tariffs imposed since the start of the trade war.
That's right. So the US also made no pledges to ease its crackdown on Huawei. And China's concessions were also relatively minor. Beijing agreed to additional purchases of farm goods like soybeans and pork to an annual value of about $50 billion. And US President Donald Trump has called the deal a substantial phase one deal. As Stephen Innes was saying, baby steps, but baby steps which are good nonetheless.
And speaking of Trump, he is tweeting as we speak about the result of this deal. And just an hour ago had a very enthusiastic one, saying that China has already begun agricultural purchases from our great patriot farmers and ranchers. And this was a tweet in all caps.
Well, you just have to love the man, right?
When no, you don't have to.
I was being dot, 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 dot.
Right. And then he also tweeted, dot, 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 I agreed not to increase tariffs from 25 to 30% on October 15th. They will remain at 25%. The relationship with China is very good. We will finish out the large phase one part of the deal, then head directly into phase two. The phase one deal can be finalized and signed soon. So naturally, expect markets to soar this morning.
I think they will be a little bit happy, but the reality is, do you think there will be really, really a trade deal? You know, one that the world wants, that one the world needs in terms of reboosting global growth?
It depends.
I think the pains are already beginning to feel, yeah. You know, in terms of the economies that we see, especially in developed markets. Like if you look at Europe, it's really slowed down. There's a recession there. I mean, at least a technical one.
And you wonder whether the approaching 2020 election will light a fire under Donald Trump and his negotiating tactics, yeah. Whether or not we'll actually see more
a harder stance
concessions.
A harder stance. Because he needs to appeal to his agriculture belt, his Bible belt, his, what do you call, Rust Belt. Mm-hmm. And they like this kind of noise, right? Even though actually it impacts them in terms of jobs.
Well, while the US-China trade talks are going on in Washington, Chinese President Xi Jinping was also in India meeting with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. And the two leaders agreed to set up a new mechanism to discuss trade. They had 2 days of informal talks aimed at recalibrating somewhat strained ties between the two nations. India, among other things, raised concerns about the China-led RCEP, or the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. Right now, though, we are heading into a few messages, and then after that, we'll be coming back with more local stories for you. Be sure to stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.